Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at the readings for today, I just want to take a moment to think of all those who died some years ago on September 11th, people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So many died this day in our country. Lord, we ask your mercy upon us. We ask, Lord, that you would even bless those who have hurt us. We ask with courage. We ask that even those who have hurt us would come to know you and be changed. Help us to be more and more like Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us that evil can be overcome by good, that love can triumph over hate, that despair can be destroyed by hope. Give us the courage to keep our eyes fixed on you, even when we have suffered terribly and horribly. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, because you will never disappoint. You will heal. You will restore. You will make well all that was broken. Help us, Lord. Draw us closer to you. The first reading for today is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24, through the third verse of chapter 2, so 1:24 to 2:3. And by the way, remember that when you're listening to this program, if at all possible, have your Bible with you. As I said earlier last week, get two senses at work, your eyes and your ears. Hear, listen, look. Let the Word of God begin to penetrate your heart. Brothers and sisters, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the suffering of Christ on behalf of his body, the church. Now, there's nothing lacking in the suffering of Christ. Christ's suffering on the cross is sufficient. Absolutely, utterly, totally sufficient for our salvation. But, and I'm going to talk about this, I mentioned last week that I'm going to be looking very much this coming week on the place of suffering in our lives. We celebrate some feasts this week and next week, and I want to focus on what can come out of suffering, the beauty that can come out of suffering. Paul says in this reading, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. I'm going to talk about all of this in the next week or so to really take a look. What does Paul mean here? I make up what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. There's nothing lacking in the suffering of Christ. It is complete. It is absolutely complete. So what does Paul mean here? Stay tuned and listen for the booklet that I want you to read, Hope in the Midst of Suffering. Perhaps you've had a copy in the past. Get another one. If you have two copies, give one away. But let's really take a look over this next week or two. What does God want us to do with the suffering we endure? He offered his suffering for the salvation of the world. What do we do with ours? He goes on to say, of which I am a minister in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you that's the hope for glory. Christ dwells in you, brothers and sisters. And Paul says, that's the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. For this I labor and struggle in accord with the exercise of his power working within me. Brothers and sisters, God's power is at work in each of us, if we allow it. You can reject it. His power, the life and the love that is infinite in Christ, is in us by baptism. We have to learn how to live it out. We have to learn how to unleash it, so to speak. But it's there. Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, reconciliation. It's there, brothers and sisters. All the graces are there. We need to learn how to unpack them more. I want you to know how great a struggle I am having for you and for those in Laodicea and all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged as they are brought together in love, to have all the richness of assured understanding, for the knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God wants us all to know that, Paul is saying. God wants us all to know that. Think about that. Instead of moaning and bemoaning suffering, and I'm not saying that we don't all have times when the weight is very, very heavy. I understand that. Times when we just need to be loved and we need to be cared for. But just don't get into a pity party. Let's say, Lord, you've allowed this suffering. It's very difficult. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to resolve it. Will you help me? Will you live within me? Will you lead me? Will you teach me? That's going to unleash a lot of grace. Say it every day to the Lord, more than once in a day. Say to the Lord, help me not to be discouraged with the suffering I'm enduring. Help me. Help me to see that you can bring good out of everything. Help me, Lord. Please help me. And that's why Paul says at the beginning of this letter, chapter 1, but verse 24, brothers and sisters, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Doesn't mean he likes suffering, but he knows that people are suffering on his behalf. They're using his prayer. They're suffering. They're offering up to God for Paul and for his ministry. I rejoice, he says, in my sufferings for your sake as well. I'm suffering, and I rejoice in it for your sake, because he knows the grace it can unleash in your lives, both ways. What others gave to Paul and what Paul gave to us. God wants you to see the treasure house, honestly, that suffering can be. Doesn't mean we sit there. We do everything we can to overcome it and get out of it. But there's a treasure, and the treasure that you can find oftentimes through suffering is union with God, because he draws very near. Psalm 62, in God is my safety and my glory. Only in God be at rest my soul, for from him comes my hope. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be disturbed. See, he's not looking to the things of this world to provide him security, to help him to overcome the suffering. He's looking to Christ. And he says, pour out your hearts before him. Trust him at all times. God is our refuge. It's not our bank account. It's not our degrees. It's not our influence. It's not our relationships. It's God. Let God, it's God who is the center of our life. It is God who has so much to give us of himself. Don't settle I was going to say for second best. Don't settle for 10th guest. Don't settle for 10th place. Brothers and sisters, the world is not interested in your salvation. It's interested in enticing you, in taking you away from what is good. Decide now who you will serve. That's what the scriptures tell us. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, on a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath. In other words, he would violate the Sabbath by doing work. So they're not concerned about people. They just want to see if he's following every jot and tittle of the law. It's sterile, and it's empty to live like that. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." So he's going to make it public. And he rose and stood there. And then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he looks around. He's trying to see if anybody is going to break rank in a certain sense. He's looking to see if somebody can be honest enough to break out of that stronghold. I want to be in charge. I want to be on top of it. There's no love there. There's no love. There's no concern for the person who's hurting. It's just, do you follow every jot and tittle of the law? And that's what they determine whether you're good or not. Yes, we need to follow the law of God, the commandments of God. But what God is looking for is that we use what we have been given to love others and to give them new life, to restore them, not to condemn them. He realized their intentions, said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." And he rose and stood there. And then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" And looking around at them all, he was waiting for someone. He then said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But look, are they happy for this man who can now probably work again? No, but they came enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. Look at the jealousy. Look at the envy. Look at the pride and the arrogance. Brothers and sisters, look at it seriously. Cast it out wherever you see it in your own life. May God abundantly bless you and lead you. More tomorrow. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.